going to try to go through them as slowly as we can, but some of it is just a little bit hard maybe to understand, but as you come and as you learn about the program, and we'll just have to let the Lord work. Let's pray right quick, and we'll ask God to help us. Father, we love you tonight. So thankful for the privilege, Lord, to be here, and I pray, God, you help us, Lord, as we come to this time of the program. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts and change lives, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last week, we finished up chapter number 8, and we were talking about the Gadarian demonic, and as we looked at that Gadarian's life, he had a lot of issues. He had a lot of problems in his life. He had a lot of characteristics that we looked at that we really should not see in our life. I hope tonight that as we finish up that chapter, that there's not any of those characteristics, and if there is some of those characteristics, they are minute. Okay? That some of them don't need to be in there at all, but some of them we may struggle with at times. But we need to know the aspect of we need to be doing all we can not to have those characteristics. So as we move from chapter number 8 of those uncharacteristics and we move into chapter number 9, we are going to be looking at this right here, which is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, anytime you see fruits in the Bible, the word means outcome. Outcome. Fruits. The fruit of an apple tree is what?
Apple.
Apples. Thank you very much. That wasn't a trick question. All right. So the fruit of the Spirit. This is the outcome. Okay.
Are the outcome of the Spirit's work in our life. All right. God's Word always tells us how we shouldn't act, but God's Word also tells us how we should act. All right? And as we move from chapter number 8 to chapter number 9, that is what we are going to be learning. How God wants us to act and how God desires for us to act. But we're also, as we look at each one of these, we'll also be looking at the work of the flesh. And we'll get into that later on. So, as we do this, there are some words that we need to go over right quick. Okay, there are some words. All right, because we'll be talking about them in these aspects. But the first word, and Steve Currington said it in the video tonight, we are made as a trichotomy. Okay, tri being three. Okay. Three. So we are body, soul, and spirit. We're actually spirit, soul, and body. Okay, let's get it in the right order because we want the spirit to be first. Amen? So those are three key words that we need to remember. Number one, spirit. Spirit. Okay? Spirit is also referred to, especially in our curriculum, as the inner man. Spirit, inner man, okay? That is God's mind, God's will, and God's emotions, okay? All right? That is how God wants us to yield to the inner man. Why do we call him the inner man? Because God, that's where God dwells. God dwells inside us. So the inner man is God in us. It is his mind. It is his will and it is his emotions. And then we have the soul. Okay, we have the soul. All right? The soul is often what we call the outer man. So we have the inner man, then we have the outer man. And the outer man or the soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Okay? So on one hand, you have God's mind, God's will, and God's emotion. On the other hand, you have our mind, our will, and our emotions, okay? And then you have what we call the flesh. We have the flesh. Now, that's very simply the members or our body parts that are under the influence, okay? For the Christian, Okay? That body is either under the influence of the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, or it is under the influence of the Spirit, which is God's mind, God's will, and God's emotion. Everybody with me so far? All right? Everybody's with me so far? Okay, so if we're saved tonight, if we're saved, our body, this is our body, okay? This right here. Yep, this right here. These right here. You know, that's why the little children's song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know, so we have our mind, will, and emotions, what we want to do, how we want to act, where we want to go, and then we have God's mind, okay? And the heart of man, we've talked about the heart a lot within the program. The heart is our seat of emotions. Out of it goes everything. The heart is the trigger. Okay? It's in the trigger. This is the trigger position. Okay? If this is the trigger position, it's got one of two ways that it's going to go. Okay? It's either going to yield to the Spirit, or it's going to yield to the soul, the outer man. Okay? The flesh, too, as well. So, that being said, let's look at the scripture, okay? Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5 will be our scripture. We're going to read down through verse number 23, okay? The Apostle Paul is speaking to these Galatian people, and they did a pretty good job. They've been growing in their walk with God, but they've hit some rough patches, shall we say. And here in Galatians chapter number 5, starting in verse number 16, Paul tells them this: "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust." Now the word lust is desire. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." How many of you know that the flesh is not good? Our mind, will, and emotions will get us in trouble every time. Okay? Every time. So, Paul makes a very simple statement. And he says, walk. He doesn't say run. He doesn't say try to catch up. But the word walk simply means to take repeated steps. Listen, we may not know everything. We may not be up there on the education level as many other people. Maybe we're babes in Christ. Maybe we've been Christians for a long time. We know a little bit more. But the fact of the matter is, God doesn't care how mature you are in Christ. He says, walk. Just simply take repeated steps. That's what the word walk means. To take repeated steps under the influence of the Spirit. Take repeated steps. If you miss a step, get back into the steps. Don't take repeated steps out of the will of God. So, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit. It's very simple, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't fulfill those desires. You start walking after Christ, you'll have a desire to please Him and not your flesh. So he says, take repeated steps. Notice this, verse number 17, the conflict, shall we say, is in verse 17. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other." You know what that means? This is what contrary, one to the other, means. It means that they butt together. They don't mesh. They're totally against one another, and they cannot be in the same place. Notice what it says. So that you cannot do the things that you would. You've got that battle going on in your life. And you've got that constant battle. You're never going to do what you want to do. Not going to do what God wants you to do. Verse number 18. But, the whole conjunction there. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, and we're going to get into that in a minute, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, let's take a time out right there. Let's flip over in your notes here, and let's look at a couple of these truths here. Letter number A. Underneath one, it says the role of the inner man. Everybody got that? All right. Letter A says this. The inner man is God in us, looking to live through us, to produce power for us, that we might do great exploits for Him. Now the word exploit just simply means striking or notable deeds. Let's put it this way. It means doing right. Doing what God wants us to. And here's the role of the inner man. If you don't get anything else tonight, understand this, that the role of the inner man, God working in us, okay, God in us, that is simply God wanting to work through us. Okay? He doesn't just want to work in us, but He wants to work through us. Why does He want to do that? Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs Jesus. And He's not just simply looking to do a work in your life. Yes, He wants to do a work in your life, but it doesn't stop there. He wants to work in us so that He can do a work through us. Notice what it says, that we might, looking to live through us to produce power for us. I talked about this in our orientation class. He has all the power. God has all the power. Okay? But He wants to produce that power for us so that we can do great things under His leadership. I mean, that's all it means. So that we can be what's known in the Christian world as a witness. Remember last week? Remember last week when the Gadarian demonic was wanting to go with him? What did he tell him to do? He said, sorry, you can't go with me, but here's what I want you to do. Go back to your family and go back to your friends and tell them what great things God has done for you. He told him to go back. I'm going to give you the power and be my witness. And right here in chapter number 9, we begin to see that that is the role of the inner man. God in us. That's what He wants us to do. And then we have letter B. Okay? We're going to fill these out. Letter B says, when the outer man is in submission to the body, we are in the flesh. Now, all these things can be a little bit difficult. When the outer man is in submission to the body, we are in the flesh. Okay? Now, we're going somewhere with all this, and we may not get through everything today, but we're going somewhere, so if you can, hold on. All right? Now, Galatians chapter number 5, we were just there. Look at verse number 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, something like that. I don't know if I said that right or not. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variants, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, and the list goes on, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We see that here is a whole list of things that Paul says people that are in the flesh do. Okay? Stay with me here, all right? Stay with me. We've got all those. You can go back and you can read all these on your own, the definitions of what all this list is. But what Paul is saying is that those who are underneath the control of the body, okay, these are made manifest. The word manifest just simply means they're evident. We know that people who engage on a constant daily situation of these, adultery, fornication, all these things, they're not saved. Okay? They're in the flesh. Okay? That's why in letter C, he says this. Letter C says, the works of the flesh are this, the efforts of the soul under the influence of the body. Okay? And can I just say that if any of these in this list is apparent in your life or are evident on a consistent basis without the chastening or conviction of God, you may want to ask yourself if you're saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but this is what Paul says. This is what he says. That these are evidence, all this list, are evidence of those who are in the flesh. Now, as we come to the Lord, okay, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we accept Jesus Christ our personal Savior, we know that the Spirit comes and dwells within us, we got that, we now have a choice.
Okay, people that are not saved,
choice. We have a choice, okay? Stay with me. I know it's a little, the waters are muddy a little bit maybe, but just stay with me, all right? We're going to go back up here, and we're going to talk about the aspects of where these Galatian people were at, okay? In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 3, let me read this for you, okay? We're laying groundwork, okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse number 3. He talks to these Galatians and he says this, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Okay. Now, by pretense, we've already covered the aspect that those that are lost are in the flesh. Okay. Now we're going to talk about saved people. Okay, we're going to talk about saved people. And we'll get in more of this next week. But here's the thing, okay? Saved people can walk after the flesh. You remember that trigger? Remember the heart, the trigger? To where we can either do what God wants us to do or we do what we want to do, okay? That is what we call walking after the flesh, okay? It is often called doing good in our own power. Not in the power of God, but doing good in our own power. Not relying on the Spirit, but doing good in our own power. Let's look at this chapter. Let's look at this verse here. He tells the Galatians, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? How many of you here tonight that are saved, let me ask, how many of you here tonight that are saved did anything to earn your salvation? Anybody? Absolutely not. When we come to Christ, we realize that there's absolutely nothing that we can do to merit salvation. It's totally upon Jesus, right? It's totally upon what He done. Is everybody with me? Okay? That's where these Galatian people were. They had it down pat that there was absolutely nothing they could do for salvation. That's what he means by having begun in the Spirit. They were saved in the Spirit. But he goes on to say, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect? That word perfect means mature. Now, we understand that all of us have different points of maturity in our Christian walk, right? Paul tells us, or Peter tells us, that when we first get saved, we're newborn what? Babies. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Okay? So we all understand that we start at a certain point, and as we learn about the Bible, we learn Christ, and our relationship grows with Him, we mature. Right? That's why people who are mature in Christ, you don't see them doing a lot of things that maybe newborn babes in Christ may do. Maybe because they just simply don't know. I don't know. But here's the kicker. Okay, here's what we need to understand. And this is what he is telling these Galatians people. Okay, he says, you understand the aspect that there's nothing that you can do for salvation, but there's also nothing you can do to mature yourself. We've got to come to the realization that we need to come to what we call sanctification. Okay? Big words here. Justification and sanctification. Justification is when we get saved. Sanctification is a process by which we become to know Christ. Okay? We need to understand that we've got to let God do the work in us. Let God live the Christian life through us, because we can't do it ourselves. You know what happens when I try to live the Christian life in my own power? There's no joy in it. Because here's what happens. And I've seen it from RU students. I've seen it from church people. You know what happens is we begin to try to do things, okay? And we think that we're doing all these good little things that good little Christians do, and we're just simply doing them because we feel like that's the right thing to do. And here's what happens. When things start going sideways in our life, we get to look around and say, I'm going to church, I'm reading my Bible, I'm giving in the offering plate, I'm doing all these things. Why is all this stuff still happening to me? And what we do is we get frustrated. We get frustrated and we're ready to throw our hands up and just say, nah, there ain't no sense in even trying. There ain't even no sense in me even trying to live the Christian life, because every time I live the Christian life, I don't seem to get anywhere. No, duh. That's why we need Christ to live the Christian life through us. There's a world of difference between letting Christ live the Christian life through us and us trying to do it in our own power. Steve Currington talks about this in his book, Tall Law. We have a copy if anybody wants one. We need to come to the realization that just as we came to God for salvation, and we understand that there's absolutely nothing we can do, we need to understand that we can't live the Christian life. That God is the only one that has the power capable enough for a sinner like me to live the Christian life. If you don't get anything out of the message, number one, remember the role of the inner man. That is God working in us, looking to live through us, to produce a power for us. Notice that we're nowhere in that equation until the end, that we might do great exploits for Him. It is Him who gives us the power. It is Him who lives the Christian life. Paul said in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we'll get into that a little bit next week. That's all we have time for tonight. If you'll stick with me, we'll go somewhere with this lesson. The role of the inner man is God wanting to work in us and give us that power that we can live the Christian life. We can't do it on our own. Okay? You do it on your own, you'll get frustrated, you'll be ready to quit, and you'll quit church, you'll quit reading your Bible. That's why it's got to be all about God. It's all about God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight.